Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
On this blade, praying that I don't get cut by these police making waves, jumping out and checking nuts, cutting balls down the guns. Babbage weed is in my lungs. Niggas stiff me for a bag. I'ma shoot him in his ass. I'ma show him who the boss. When you niggas gonna learn, when you cross in this game, then your ass will get burned. Wait my turn or my time. Rock for rock for the dime. Taking fair chance after chance, but I got to dance to the rules of this shit. That's why I keep a revolver. How the hell you robbers? Slap cross mouth, reach it in your pockets and take your money out. Man, you know what's going. You got cheese, I got dope. For the 900 strong, I got peas, I got coke. Ain't no credit given, man. You can get from round here. Niggas robbing, niggas banging, niggas slanging down here. I got cheese, hoes, and a bunch of fucking dope. I got peas, coke, and some killers at the dope. Hydro weed, smoke, and a quarter ounce of dope. What you need, bro, is to fuck with your boy. I'm a goat, I'm a pool, me a rabbit out of hat. I'm some cane, mix with sugar and some killer strapped with gas. Always trying to be slick, you the step in some shit. You the broke, get your laws, you the tow your fucking jaws with me, boy. He ain't know, cause the street never lies. Walk right up on your ass, shoot right between the eyes. You be stinking with the flies while I'm riding.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. It's one of your hosts, Mr. Span. I got the homeboy Cliff here. Damn, goddamn, I'm all tongue tied. Cliff, aka DJ Neff, man. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Span, you gotta quit drinking, man.
I gotta quit drinking.
Like that,
no, fuck
man.
That. Fuck that.
I got the mango wheat. You like 49?
I got the mango wheat.
You like 49 years old, man.
Nigga, the mango wheat is delicious.
It's the fuck with your boy. I got cheese, hoes, and a bunch of fucking dope. I got peas, coke, and some killers at the dope. Hydro weed, smoke, and a quarter ounce of dope. What you need, bro, is the fuck with your boy.
All right. We got that out the way. Yo, what's going on, y'all, man? This is episode 17 of the Beer Chicken Podcast, y'all. Say what?
Yo, man, you just took you know what you just did, though. What'd I do? All the way.
What'd I do?
This is 2018. That's almost 20 years ago, man.
Yeah, man. God, that shit still goes, man. After the fireworks of the last podcast, man, I was like, you know what? Although that's not a 3-6 joint. That's you know, Project Pat. You know what I'm saying? It's not 3-6 when the smoke clears, but you know what it is. You know, because we was kind of heated, Cliff. You know, it was funny, though, because, like, I went back and I rewatched it when I put the video up on YouTube. I'm like, damn. My wife was like, yo, you was kind of hot. You was mad. I'm like, no, I wasn't mad. And then I rewatched it. She's like, damn, I did look kind of pissed. but the funny thing about it was that, like, we came pretty much to the same conclusion. We just had different ways of, like, seeing the end result. You know what I'm saying? Like, we both wanted the same thing. It was, like, just different. Like, nah, you looking at it, like, purely financial. I'm looking at it, like, it's cultural. And that's where I think the miscommunication was. We was talking past each other at a certain point. But,
yes.
Yeah, that's what was happening. That's what was happening.
You sent the, when you did the YouTube thing.
Yeah.
I watched it the second you sent it, man.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think we were individually so focused on our own standpoint that we wasn't recognizing that we was walking down the same path.
Mm-hmm.
like all the way. But yeah, man. Yeah, I think last episode was hot though, man. I mean,
oh yeah.
When people are emotionally involved, man, it just goes.
For sure. That's why like Walt kind of sat back, man. He was like, man, I don't know nothing about this bullshit y'all talking about. But, hey, bullshit, right? I don't know nothing about this bullshit y'all talking about.
Right? No pun.
No pun. But like, yeah, I'm gonna just let y'all go ahead and bicker about this shit while I bask in my Pistons mediocrity. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. So it's right now. It's just the two of us. The homeboy Walt ain't with us just yet. He may roll in on us later on in the show. But before we get into everything, of course, we gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Let your voices be heard here. You can hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them on the show, respond right here on the show. And because we're doing the show live, you can call in while we're doing it right here on Crowdcast. Call us and we'll chop that shit up with you right here live on the show, right? Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We'll read and respond to those emails here live on the show. Also, hit us up on Twitter. My name on there is Mr_Span. Cliff's name on there is DJ Neff2. Walt is Walt Lockdown. And the show has a Twitter, man. It's Beer and Chicken Pod, man, on Twitter. So go ahead and follow all of those social media contacts on the Twitter streets, man, and chop it up with us throughout the week. You know, I just mentioned that we got the YouTube thing popping right now, right? So you can go subscribe to the Span Report Podcast Network channel and you'll get clips of the shows, man. So if you don't catch the shows live and you don't really want to watch the whole show, but you want to catch the highlights, go ahead into the YouTube channel, subscribe to the Span Report Podcast Network on YouTube, and you can watch replays of those shows as well. And of course, we got the website, www.beerandchickenpod.com. You go there, you can vote in the polls, you can watch replays of the show, you can leave comments, you can donate to the show. And we need that money right now because we need some equipment. So yeah, man, go ahead, do that. And and you can go to www.tpublic.com/the Span Report Podcast Network. There's a link in the show notes. Y'all ain't got to type all that shit out. I do that for y'all, man, so y'all don't have to do that. Span did that, so you didn't have to go through that. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, hit that link up. Buy yourself some merch, man. Get yourself some gear. Make it to a T-shirt or a coffee mug or whatever, man. Just show your support. By helping us out that way, man. We really do help. You know, we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. But what you been up to this week, brother?
Man, as I just said before we went live, I just got home from DJing a baby shower, man, on the lakefront. It was lit.
It was lit, man.
It was a buddy of mine's daughter, mm-hmm. and I just refused. I said, look, and I'm not buying no diapers. I don't know how to do all that baby shower stuff, but I'll DJ the whole party.
Okay.
So when I got there, they had a fifth of Maker's Mark and a 24 of Blue Moon.
Ah. I said, approve.
Thank you very much.
I approve.
This message.
Yo, real talk, man. No, man. Like, but, if we get like some brewery fucking sponsors, nigga, this gonna be lit. We should stop saying lit, though. Donald Trump Jr. used that shit on Twitter, and it just totally took the cool factor away from that word. We got to stop using it.
We can go back to the... So what did we say in the 90s? What did we say
in the 90s? We said a bunch of silly shit in the 90s, man. We said dope. I still say dope every now and again, man. We got Jiggy with it.
I say hot.
We got Jiggy with it, nigga.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't get jiggy.
I can't get jiggy with this shit. What else?
I can't even think. Like, I'm gonna have to play some 90s music to really think about what we were talking about, like what we were saying.
Would you bite about it? Nah, I wasn't really a Master P fan, so I really wasn't jumping on that bandwagon. Like, I wouldn't really. I thought Master P was trash. As a matter of fact, I thought most of No Limit was trash, except for
Mystical.
I fuck with Mystical, and I fuck with Fiend. Mystical, Fiend, and a little bit of C Murder.
Yeah.
A little bit of C Murder, but the rest of them was hot garbage. That shit was trash, yo, and I never understood the appeal, but you know. I think that was me and my contrarian streak as a teenager, man. Whatever everybody else is on, I was trying to be on the opposite end of that. Like, nah, man, fuck that. That's whack, nigga. That's what I'm on. I had that going on as a teenager real hard, bro. Like, if he was a Ford, nigga, I don't like nothing Ford, man. Everybody own Mustangs, nigga, I like Camaros, nigga. Fuck y'all. Like,
low key, I was a Bonneville dude. I was a Bonneville.
Ah,
dude.
Bonneville. Bonneville's is nice. Bonneville's is nice.
Man.
Not, I mean, I would prefer a Grand Prix. I would have preferred the Grand Prix over the Bonneville, but I could see the appeal of the Bonneville. You know what I'm saying? I could see that appeal. You know, but
it was hot, man.
So, we got a few topics that we're gonna talk about. We're gonna go ahead and get right on into this, man. I'm gonna kick it off, man, because I very rarely kick them off, man. Usually, I leave that to you guys. You know, kind of kick it off. I get somewhere in the middle or towards the end, but I'm gonna kick it off today, man. So, one of the things I wanted to get into, man, was the fact that Paul George, man, re-signed with the and why is that shit automatically playing? What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Something was automatically playing or something. I heard something. But yeah, man, Paul George.
That was my phone. I apologize.
Yeah. Unprofessional, Cliff. No. Paul George, man, re-signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? And this was Paul George. He was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder after telling the Indiana Pacers, like, look, man, I'm not signing back here. And the only team that I'm playing for next year or going forward will be I'm gonna sign with the Lakers in 2018 when I become a free agent, right? Now, many people thought it was a really big risk for Oklahoma City to give up Victor Oladipo and I forget the other guy that they traded him for to get Paul George, because they were like, yo, you're basically getting this guy on a rental. You know what I mean? And like, he's already made it known that he wants to go and play for the Los Angeles Lakers when he becomes a free agent. And now word gets out that Paul George has re-signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he didn't even give the Lakers a fucking meeting. He didn't even talk to the Lakers. He did an announcement with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City at like a party or something like that, where he said, yo, I'm going to be back here. I'm back for the long haul. He signed for 4 years. I think it was $137 million. And I wonder I would have asked both of you guys, but I wonder what your take is on like Russell Westbrook, right? Because Russell Westbrook has gotten a reputation for being a bad teammate. And I think a lot of it stems between the relationship that he and Kevin Durant had or have had and how frayed that had gotten. So what do you think this means, one, for OKC's chances in the West? That's one. And then two, what do you think this means for the perception of Russell Westbrook being a bad teammate?
All right. I know we've talked about Russell before. First of all, I'm going to set my preface. I think Russell is the best shooting guard in the NBA. Most athletic. Athletic. I'm saying athletic for a reason, because he is extremely athletic. When it comes to personality and being able to work in the same, you know, in the same office as him, I don't know how that works out, because it didn't work out before. I don't know how it worked out with him, Paul George, and Melo. You never really heard too much of the news, so I don't know per se if they ever had any run-ins, right? I'll say this: if Paul George signed for 4 years, first of all, get money. Second of all, if he signed for 4 years, he might not have no problem with Westbrook. Okay, not everybody has that chemistry to be able to play with one another. Mm-hmm. You know, and if Russell and Paul have that, you know, kudos to them. Are they going to win a ring? Them two? No. They need more, and Melo ain't the key. But to answer your question, I think that it says a lot that Paul re-signed. Maybe Westbrook changed, right? Maybe he changed for the better. Maybe he learned from his mistakes that he had with James Harden and Kevin Garnett. And honestly, I didn't see the whole Kevin Garnett and
Kevin Durant
Westbrook thing working out. I didn't hear you.
Kevin Durant. You said Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, my bad. Kevin. Yeah. KD and Westbrook. I never seen that working. His personality is very quiet. Westbrook is like explosive and wants to be, you know, that front line and everything, and that's cool. But them two would never mesh, and it shows. I honestly think that between Paul George and Westbrook, they really complement one another. You know, Westbrook, you know, will lead the team, and Paul George does have the ability when Westbrook has a bad game to make up for that difference, right? But they do need somebody else to be more successful, meaning, you know, to make it to the championship and win. So Westbrook's attitude is horrible. I've always said it's horrible. If his attitude matched his athletic ability, he might be the best player in the NBA. Next to LeBron James.
All right.
Because that's honestly, that's what makes LeBron one of the best players, because he does have a great attitude on and off the court. He carries himself very well. Westbrook does not, you know. But I'm happy for him. I really am happy for Westbrook. I know this is not about Westbrook, but they cheated him for the MVP. But at the end of the day, clearly, when it comes to being able to play with Westbrook, Paul George sees the light at the end of the tunnel, or the light right in front of him. He has to, because he wouldn't have signed, because he could have went anywhere and probably got the same money.
Yeah, well, one of the things you said, man, you were talking about like Westbrook's attitude, and whether or not he's a good teammate and whatnot. I think that the problem that people have with Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook doesn't really suffer fools a whole lot. Russell Westbrook will cut shit short. Russell Westbrook will tell you exactly what the fuck is on his mind at that time. And it's another thing too, where with Russell Westbrook, like, you can tell what he's thinking. Like, he doesn't really have the greatest poker face. Like, when Russell Westbrook is like kind of disgusted with you, it's written all over his fucking face. I have that same problem. Right? Well, like, when I'm pissed at somebody, I can't really like hide my disdain for motherfuckers when like I'm upset. I'm just like, I'm just looking at them like, this motherfucker. You know, and I think a lot of times Russell Westbrook, when it comes to the media, I think the media may have had a hand in crafting this perception of Russell Westbrook as a bad teammate, and using that Kevin Durant leaving as a catalyst to propel that notion that Russell Westbrook is a bad teammate. I think what Kevin Durant ultimately decided was, one, for himself, that the situation may have been better for him in Golden State, right? I don't know necessarily if that was a dig at Russell Westbrook the way folks tried to make it to be a dig at Russell Westbrook. I think Kevin Durant looked at an opportunity to, like, to get a chip with a more solidified team outside of just him and Russell Westbrook. Because you have to understand, too, Oklahoma City had started like kind of piecing away some of the core of that team that got them to the NBA Finals. Serge Ibaka was gone. James Harden gone. You know, those was part of the core of that team. And so now you've got it on just Russell and KD. And true enough, they went seven games with Golden State. But I think at a certain point, man, like for Kevin Durant, he saw a different opportunity to go to another team and pretty much guarantee himself a shot at the chip, right? Like, the Golden State was the best thing going. They were offered. They had the money to give him. Like, yo, boom, I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity. Russell Westbrook took that very personally. One, because they had this thing where, like, they kind of acted as if they were like brothers. You know what I'm saying? They talked about this a lot. Like, that's my brother, man. Like, you know, I got his back. He got mine. You know, when people would talk shit about Westbrook, KD would be one of the first people in the media like, yo, man, shut that noise down. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think for Russell to see KD leave, That hurt the man's feelings, man. Like, yo, man, like, not only are you going to leave, but you're going to leave to go with these motherfuckers, the ones we almost just beat. So, like, there was a betrayal on Russell Westbrook. Now, I know a whole lot of fans are like, man, that was some hoe-ass shit. If anybody had the reason to be mad about KD leaving to go to Golden State, it would be Russell Westbrook, right? So you had that aspect of it. The second aspect of it is folks have given, you know, folks tend to think of Russell Westbrook being a selfish player. Right. Even going back to the, you know, the whole triple double thing, people were talking about, well, yo, he only doing this to pad the stats, man. He these ain't real triple doubles, man. People is boxing out. They not even trying to go for the rebound so they can let Russell Westbrook get it. as if it's guaranteed that Russell Westbrook is going to get the rebound. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just going to let a free ball go. And Russell is like, he guaranteed to vacuum that bitch up. Like, it didn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So you had that aspect going on. And for Paul George, go ahead.
Can I interject for 2 seconds?
What's that?
You said, and I just want to say this, KD, Westbrook, Harden, Baca, mm-hmm. right? All of them at the time, okay, they weren't even 25 years old, okay? And I'm going back to something that I saw on ESPN when they had that championship possibility. They were so young, they didn't know really how to manage personalities. They had the right equipment, but they didn't know how to work it, because you can have all that power on the court, but I'm telling you, it can break down in the locker room. And to me, that's what happened. They were a little young. They were a little young. They
it's possible.
Veterans on the squad. Think about what happens nowadays.
Yeah, it's very that's very it's very well possible.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, it's very well possible.
A lot of times. Mm-hmm.
So, what I'm getting back to with Paul George is Paul George came into a situation where he was coming to a team where, okay, you got this guy who has a reputation for not being that great a teammate, and he's also supposed to be the leader of this team, and then you also mm-hmm. have him coming into a situation where he's already put out in the world that I'm not even signing. Whatever y'all send me, I'm signing with the Lakers. So this team now has to impress upon Paul George this might be a right fit for him. And he had a year with Russell Westbrook to play with Russell Westbrook, to do a little battle with Russell Westbrook, to figure out whether or not Russell Westbrook is somebody he can continue to do battle with going forward. And he made the decision to not only go back on his word to sign with the Lakers, but to not even take a meeting with the Lakers to even think about signing up a contract. And I think to a certain degree, it may have something to do with the fact that, like, when Russell Westbrook is out there on the floor, Russell Westbrook is playing hard. Russell Westbrook is playing like it's his last motherfucking chance on like to be on the court. Like, Russell Westbrook is out there giving it everything. Like, you never watch a game. And I think the last time I heard anybody say something like this, actually, I heard Bill Russell say this about Michael Jordan. Bill Russell said, I never got the impression that Michael Jordan just sent his jersey out there. Like, you never got the impression that he took a game off. You get the same sort of vibe about Russell Westbrook. I don't think Russell Westbrook ever takes a game off. I don't think Russell Westbrook takes a fucking possession off. Russell Westbrook is almost maniacal in the way that he attacks the game. And for somebody like a Paul George, who's had to be the man for a good portion of his career, like, yo, man, I got somebody else who's just as good, if not better than me, who's also maniacal at being great on the court. I can definitely see myself trying to play with this guy and win championship with this guy. And personality maybe aside, like, yo, this might be where I need to be. Because right now in L.A., as much as he said he was going to sign with L.A., like, it ain't looking as good for L.A. right now as he does with already having an established star there where he isn't the only star, right? Because if Paul George goes there, it's him going there and hoping somebody else comes there. Right now, he already has Russell Westbrook at his side. And I think he played that card. Like, well, you know what, man? I already got a star, somebody I could play with. I'm going to ride this out here.
You said something very important. You said that whoever he signs with in 18, he's going to sign with the Lakers, right?
That's what he told the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. If I got put on a team with a guy who averaged a triple-double 2 seasons in a row, right? 2 seasons in a row. And let's just assume, for the sake of argument, that Russell really did change his attitude in the locker room, on the court, his communication with the players, his willingness to sacrifice and give the ball up when he doesn't have to. If I was Paul George, yo, the Lakers, okay, you know what I said about LeBron James going to the Lakers. If I was Paul George, I would have done the same thing, because you have an individual in the NBA possibly who has so much athleticism, and he's young. He's young. Westbrook is still young. Let's remember that. It's not like this dude is 35. All right, Westbrook is still young. He's definitely has a future in front of him, and players, and we don't know this, might be saying right now, hey, man, Oklahoma might be a place to go because they might be next. They might be next. And if if I'm a big man or a power forward, whatever the case may be, I might want to go over there. And Paul George is putting himself in a place where he knows that the team is going to build around Westbrook. And if they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals next year or the year after, they're eventually going to make it to the championship game again. And Paul George doesn't want to miss this opportunity. I would not have gone to the Lakers. I mean, honestly, to get paid, that's a whole nother subject. But he got paid with Oklahoma. He's probably in his mind saying, this is a guy who has the ability to score when he wants to. He plays great D, all right? He's fierce. Like you just said, it's like when he plays, it's like his last game, you know? So I respect what Paul George did. Regardless of the fact what he said when he was with Indiana, you know, that don't mean nothing. He's just blowing smoke just to, you know, blow some headlines. But at the end,
I don't know if that's
day,
what he was doing.
You have an individual. I'll say this, whoever is behind Paul George, maybe his agent, maybe his mama, who knows, he's getting led in the right direction. You know, because in the West, we've talked about this a million times. It's the best conference. And Oklahoma has they've never lacked. So I would want to, at this point in time, if I was Paul George and I had my options, I know I'm valuable. And they have good players. I mean, Steve Adams is their center. I think he's awesome. He's a big dude who's agile. He can rebound and he can score under the basket. Mm-hmm. You know, they have other players that actually work well with the whole feng shui, if you want to say, with the team. So I think Paul George made a great decision. I don't know how long. I don't want to bring up another subject. I don't know what's going to happen with Melo, but Melo's not going to be the determinant factor if they win a championship.
I don't think Melo's going to be with that team.
I just think he's old.
I don't think Melo's going to be with that team. I don't think Melo's going to be with that team because of salary reasons. I think Melo commands too much money, and they'd be going into a salary cap situation. I think they would part ways with Melo. I really do. I don't think Melo's going to even play for the old Oklahoma City Thunder this year. I don't. But one of the things you said about Paul George, you know, like put it out in the air that he wants to play with the Lakers and maybe just blowing smoke in the air. I don't know if it's even that. I think he sincerely thought at that time that he would sign with the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, I really do think that's what he wanted to do. And he found himself in a situation like, well, you know what, man? Shit, where I'm at right now is actually the sky is kind of up where I'm at, as opposed to hoping that the sky may get up when I get to L.A. And not to kind of take, you know, not to kind of veer off the subject, though. Like, I was thinking about, like, Magic Johnson had to come out and say, well, like, yo, man, if I don't get a free agent to come here in 2 years, I'm going to walk away from this job. Right? And, you know, you look at, like,
the Lakers.
Yes, this is what Magic Johnson said. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Magic Johnson, you know, because, like, there is a fear, right? There is a fear out there. People have talked about this, that despite the fact that the Lakers have all this money available, that they may miss out on some of these free agents, right? And so, you know, Magic Johnson put himself out there and said, if I'm not able to sign a major free agent in 2 years, I will walk away from this job, right? So, you know, one of the things about it is, like, although you have money, and I remember we talked about this with the Bulls last show, although you may have money, the situation ain't always the – like, situations also play a big role in – whether or not guys decide to come to that squad or not. Paul George being one of them. His situation changed, and now all of a sudden, whether the Lakers have money or not, he ain't going there. You know what I'm saying? He found himself in another situation where he felt like it was in, like, this is more pertinent for me. So, yeah, he said he had two. He said, give me two summers, this summer and next summer. And he said, if I don't sign a major free agent in these two summers, then I'll walk away from this job. The situations are fluid. The same thing with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is putting himself out there to say, I want to go to L.A., preferably the Lakers. He would play for the Clippers, but he really wants to go to the Lakers, right? And so you have a situation now with the San Antonio Spurs that's kind of the same thing that what Paul George did. He put it out that he wanted to go to L.A. Now, San Antonio ain't really trying to fuck with L.A. or send him to the Lakers. They're like, yo, if we really want to, we want to send him someplace in the East. We don't want to send him to like a conference rival or anything like that. We send him somewhere in the East. And it may be another thing. Well, like, say, for instance, they send Kawhi Leonard to either Boston or Philly, and he gets comfortable in Boston or Philly, and now the L.A. Lakers are stuck with their dick in their hands with nothing to show for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Despite the fact that they got all this money. So, yo, man, like, I know we totally got off the fucking topic, but I think that with Paul George sticking around in Oklahoma City, man, it may rehabilitate to a certain degree Russell Westbrook's reputation around the NBA about whether or not the guy is a good teammate or
not. I got to say something on something you said.
Okay.
The Lakers, Magic Johnson, all that, I got to get a free agent. Hey, man, what if, and I say what if, this has nothing to do with Westbrook attitude and Paul George saying, you know what, oh, he's a good dude now. I love playing with him. What if the Lakers said, we're not taking nobody but LeBron?
Here's the thing.
Right?
He never took a meeting with them. I'm saying Paul George never even opened it up to where he's like, you know what, I'm going to have a meeting with them. And have, like, this meeting is going to determine how much I sign for and all these things. Because truth be told, the Lakers also knew that Paul George wanted to come to them. And they were maybe banking on the fact that Paul George is going to be there so they can entice LeBron to come there. Right? Because what the Lakers got right now, I mean, what is it? Lonzo Ball? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they got...
Don't even talk about the Lakers.
Hold on. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's not like they got a whole lot of shit going on there as far as their roster is concerned. So if they can get somebody like a Paul George to come there, it may entice a person like LeBron James to make it, you know, as much as everybody just already pegged him to go to the Lakers, it may entice him more to be like, well, okay, there's something here that I can work with. Where now Paul George didn't even take the fucking meeting. He's like, you know what? Nah, I'm cool where I'm at. I don't even need to talk to these people. I'm straight where I am.
That says more than what you're saying. Think about that. If I'm LeBron James, do you think saying, hey, Antoine, you're the best player in the world right now. Guess what?
Well, I am.
We got Paul. with a Detroit Lions hat on.
Hey, man.
Hold on. Are you wearing that hat because of what I said in the messages? We ain't got to talk about that right now.
Hey, man, it matches the shirt, man. It goes with the shirt. You know, I'm color coordinated. You got to coordinate, nigga. Come on now.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Come on.
But listen,
what's your point?
if you're the best player in the world, Antoine, why don't you come play for us? We got Paul George. I'd be like, man, yo, get out of my face with that, man.
Look.
They building from – listen, no, Antoine, they are starting from you. You are the only reason why anybody – man, forget Paul George. Paul George is not going to entice LeBron James to come play for the Lakers. First of all, that's not going to happen.
I disagree.
Here's what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Paul George recognized his options, and right now, LA said we're not calling or making any meetings with nobody until we have this meeting with LeBron. You are like seventh. You're not even third.
I doubt that very seriously.
We're waiting for LeBron.
I doubt that very seriously.
This is my opinion.
Okay.
Okay, this is my opinion. LeBron, Paul George understood. Let's think about this. in the world of sports agencies, there's a whole bunch of underneath the table talking. Oh, well, you know, this is what they want. This is what they talking about. This is where they going. And they're not going for Paul George. Paul George is not a cherry. He's not a carrot. All right. What he is an option. He's an option, and he's a great option for a lot of teams, including the Lakers. But he's not the type of dude that's going to entice LeBron James to come play for the Lakers. The reason why LeBron James would go play for the Lakers is because they can pay him the most out of any other team in the whole league.
No, they're not.
With that being
they're
said,
they're not. The team that can pay him the most money out of any team in the league is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's Cleveland. Is it Cavaliers? But he ain't gonna stay in Cleveland.
But and that goes back to the point that I'm making with you. With LeBron, it's not about the cash. That's the point that I'm making with you. You keep talking about it's about the cash. LeBron can make more money staying his ass right there in Cleveland. If we talking about just straight cash, he stays in Cleveland and he get over $40 million more than he would in L.A. The thing with Paul George, and let me interject real quick. The thing with with Paul George, possibly, you know, well, that possibility is now gone. But the thing with Paul George going to the Lakers is that you look at somebody like LeBron James, who just went to the NBA Finals with the team that he had. And one of the biggest complaints that not only he, but everybody who gives, you know, who says that LeBron James probably could have won if he had better teammates, was that he didn't have anybody else to, like, kind of, you know, he didn't have that tag teammate, you know, that tag teammate. Like, before, he had Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving gave them a winning shot, right? Paul George would kind of serve in that in that Kyrie Irving kind of capacity, where not only is LeBron James can sometimes take over a game, but he can also lean on somebody else to get the, you know, who can put buckets in the you know, just who can get their own shot, who can create openings in the defense where, like, yo, the defense can't solely focus on LeBron because everybody's got their attention on LeBron. That's what I think the draw would be to have a Paul George come to the Los Angeles Lakers for LeBron, because LeBron is looking at what they got right now and like, now if I had one more teammate, somebody who's of all-star caliber, I don't know if you would put Paul George in like MVP caliber, but somebody who's of all-star caliber, who I could depend on to also draw defenses, who can also get their own shot, who can make buckets, the defenses can't always solely collapse upon me, then that would make it a better incentive for him to go to LA. But with Paul George saying like, I'm not doing that, it may cause a wrinkle in that program. I'm not saying that LeBron won't go to LA. I'm just saying that we would probably put a wrinkle in that program for LA's recruiting practices.
Hey, Twan, real quick, stop the press. Stop the press.
What?
LeBron James leaves Cleveland, agrees to join the Los Angeles Lakers. It is official right now. I'm reading it right now.
Goddamn. Reading it right now. There you go. There you go. Hold on. What did I just say, though, right before you said that?
I just listen.
What did I just say?
And it didn't have nothing to do with Paul.
What did I just say? I said.
Let me say this. Let me read this. This is fresh. Thanks, Shay. I see you, Shay. Appreciate it. So listen, it says LeBron James agreed to a 4-year, $154 million contract with the Lakers on Sunday, ending his second run as the face of his hometown team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number one, and he was drafted, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. James' agreement with the Lakers was announced through a simple press release sent by his agent, Rich Paul, who says James, a 14-time All-Star, 3-time Finals MVP, 2-time Olympic, blah, 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 was joining the Lakers. Thank you, Northeast Ohio, for an incredible 4 seasons, James said in a message on his Instagram. This will always be home. James also posted to the Instagram message, see you soon, a reference to the open of his public school through Akron, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
James, blah. Okay, so let me say this. And right now, my pops is on here. Mm-hmm. I told my dad a long time ago LeBron James was going to the Lakers. Let me tell you this right now. It's funny that we just spoke on this.
Right.
And now it's real. Listen. This is great, right? So listen, LeBron James, this is the reason why Paul George didn't mean anything, why he was going to go to the Lakers. If I was the best player in the world, what teams in the NBA have the best dynasties and can pay me the most? You got the Lakers, Boston, and Chicago, period. Nobody else is running it like on the streets, all right? Chicago can't – he ain't coming here. He ain't going to Boston. He's going to go to the beach. All right, he's going to L.A. Savannah, his wife, told him, "Yo, we got a crib out there. We should go to L.A." This was like 2 years ago. I don't even remember this. So as of right now, it all makes sense. And I guarantee you, today is Sunday. By the time we do the next show next week, let's see. And I don't know who. I ain't gonna start dropping names and none of that. Let's see who's gonna be a Los Angeles Laker. And
hold on.
You think that it's not by design?
Hold on. Because that actually kind of ties back into the point that I was just making about Paul George, right? So what I was saying was, okay. Paul George would LeBron wouldn't go to the Los Angeles Lakers unless there was somebody else that was going to be there. Correct? When I saying that? Wasn't I just saying that? Somebody else is coming. Paul George was an option. Somebody else is coming.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Lakers, with LeBron James coming there, here's the thing. With LeBron James going to the Lakers, right? I think in much the same way that the Miami Heat thing kind of happened with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, that there's been talks behind the scenes with somebody we don't know, somebody we don't yet know yet, right? There's been talks with somebody else like, oh, okay, I'm going to the Lakers. This is the decision I'm making. I'm going to the Lakers. What's up? And somebody else is coming. It's not just going to be LeBron. And this is also a thing where, like I said, Magic Johnson, right? I don't think Magic Johnson goes out there and says, yeah, give me two summers or I'm walk away for the job. I think Magic Johnson already fucking knew what the hell was up before he went out to the press and said that shit. Magic Johnson ain't about to just go out there and be like, yeah, man, if I fuck this up in 2 years, man, I'm out. I'm going to walk away. Magic Johnson knew he had something. Something was in the pipeline. So, although LeBron going to the Lakers, folks have pretty much forecasted this. I'm also saying that although Paul George isn't that second option, that there is a second option coming to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. And
somebody's calling in right now. Let's see who this is. And I got so many notifications on my damn computer. Jesus Christ.
It's going down.
Hold on a second. All my phones is going off and everything, and I don't want to hang up on them, but I got to get this shit loaded up. Oh, come on, man. Load up. This is some bullshit. Tell them to call back, man. They got to call back. I got 30 damn notifications for Hangouts on everything. Whoever that was, man, call back. I'm sorry.
yeah, call back. Twan got a broke computer just like that Hattie got on this.
My computer ain't broke. I just got way too many damn notifications for one fucking application is all. That's all that it was. My phone going off, my tablet going off. The computer got three different notifications from my phone and my tablet going off. It's a whole big thing, man. I gotta unconvolute my shit. But and it's from a 708 area code, so it might have been some of your people's. But yeah, man. Breaking news right here on the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. LeBron James signed with the goddamn Los Angeles Lakers.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So when LeBron went to and then I know we can go to the next subject. Mm-hmm. When LeBron went to Miami, all that was convoluted. All that was premeditated, man.
I said that when it happened. Yeah.
I know. And here's what I was going to say. Today's Sunday. By Tuesday, LeBron is going to have a perennial all-star. And this was my point exactly about 5 minutes ago. This is why Paul is not a Laker, because Paul was not a part of the whole thing. No, we don't want you, Paul. No. It's not that Paul didn't go talk to the Lakers. It's because he wasn't part of it. And he knew that before saying anything else. Did he want to go to the Lakers? Of course. Everybody knows that LeBron was going to the Lakers. Well, I knew. How about that? I knew. And for me, it's like, LeBron already has who he wants. He already has. So that's it, man.
As that team is currently constructed, because they got to make some more moves. As that team is currently constructed.
Yes.
LeBron James' run of going to the NBA Finals is probably over. As that team is currently...
Yes!
Yes. I don't think, like, looking at the roster of the Los Angeles Lakers as it stands right now with LeBron James, I still don't believe that the Lakers are better than the Golden State Warriors in the West.
Right now, yes, I agree with that. But
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying that there's something else has to be coming down
the subject.
Yeah.
because we just talked about Paul George and Westbrook, and the headlines hit. We about to go through a whole nother mashed potatoes and crazy.
Now, what you got? What you got, man?
But what'd you say?
What you got?
Oh, what I got?
Yeah, what you
this
got?
Stuff, man. So every week we talk about basketball because we love balling. Well, I'm a baseball player. Pops ball right now, baseball. Everybody in my family is a baseball player. I love baseball. So, reading ESPN and came across a real interesting – let me grab my phone because it's on my phone. I found a very interesting article. And I don't know if you remember Bobby Bonilla. He was a really good ball player, man. Dude started 1986, retired in 2001. Probably wasn't even playing then. But this article reads as such. It says, why the Mets paid Bobby $1.19 million every July, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I like the way that sounds. What about you? So, this says it's July 1st and we should be thinking about our 4th of July holiday plans, but as baseball fans, we can't. Why? Because today it's all about Bobby, a man who last played 5,381 days ago, owns this day, not just July 1st, but every July 1st through 2035. My man, it's the day where the New York Mets pay him $1,193,248.20. So with the water cooler and the Twitter buzzing about Bonilla's deal, here's your primer. How did this deal present itself? Deferred money deals have been going on for a long time, but the Mets did more of that than most. The first deferred money deal we know is Daryl Strawberry in 1985. 40% of his contract he got up front, and $1.8 million a team option and 5% interest over time. The deal paid about $1.46 million from 2004 to 2033. Bonilla's agent, Dennis Gilbert, was an insurance agent at the same time he developed into a super agent, and he represented Barry Bonds, Canseco, and a few others. So how did this deal come about? His contract originally was for $5.9 million, right? Yo, by the time this contract is over, after this dude only played 6 games, and then he retired. All right. So with that being said, he gets a new contract for $5.9 million. When this contract is done in 2035, he will have gotten $29.8 million. And he ain't even playing, right? It says the first installment of the payout came out July 1st, 2011, and the Mets will pay their 6th installment on Friday. Why did the Mets do this deal? I don't really understand myself, but I'm going to just read you this paragraph. It's not short, but it's not long. It says the Mets have never really talked about the deal, but it's well known that their owners, the Wilpons, have many accounts with their investor, Bernie Madoff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Madoff was returning 12 to 15% a year in what we know were fictional returns. So deferring deals wasn't the problem because the payout would occur years later and the interest rate would be lower than the money they were fictionally going to get back from Madoff. To this deal, the Mets would have never see it. God. So all that to say, the people who owned the Mets were in bed with Madoff. Madoff came in and said, man, you give me whatever, I can give you this. And they didn't see an issue with giving Bobby this money for the next 20 years. I don't know. I wasn't really into looking into contracts, of course, when me and you was at Tennessee State, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't what we were talking about. But even with a guy, and let me, and I have his stats. I just want to tell you his stats, because I'm not saying he was not a ball player. Bobby had total 287 home runs, almost 1,200 RBIs. He averaged just under 300, which is very good, very, very good. And he had a little over 2,000 hits. So he wasn't a bum, all right? He wasn't a bum. He was a very good all-around hitter, a lot of stolen bases, great defensive player, all-star, all the good stuff. But at the end of your career, I don't care if I am – that's a good question. Does Bonilla have a ring to answer that question postseason? I don't see him getting a ring. No, he does not have a ring, to be specific.
Oh, that's your pops.
That's my pops.
Oh, shit. Yeah. My bad. There you, like, that's me you hung up on. I was getting confused in the chat room. Like, hold on, man, because there's two clips up there. Like, it just clicked just now. I'm sorry, Pops. You can call back in, man. I didn't know it was you. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. What's going on? I didn't know that was you, man.
But just to finish my point before Pops calls in, even if they gave him this contract 2 years before he retired, $5.9 million, right? And they said, you know what? We're going to give you five. Go ahead.
Hold on, Cliff.
Go ahead. I'll wait.
You on with the Beer and Chicken Podcast. What's cracking?
What's up, man? You ain't going to hang up on me this time?
No, we're not going to hang up on you this time. I swear I wasn't trying to hang up on you the first time. I had way too many notifications coming up on my screen.
I had hung up anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
You know what? This thing with Bobby Bonilla can cover the same topic with, like, Westbrook and the other things you've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
Ask Bobby Bonilla if he cares he got a ring. He don't have a ring, rather. He can $1 million every year to 2035? Please.
I think it's different for different guys, though. I think guys have different motivations. I think they would like to have the ring and the money.
Oh, if they, the ring would be a plus. I mean, how many players are on the NBA team?
15.
15 guys.
Yeah.
Now, I typed in earlier. Ask the bench warmers on Golden State. Who got two rings? Would they rather have a contract like Paul George and Westbrook? And Bobby Bonilla, for that matter. I bet they give the rings up in the New York second.
Well, here's my.
Because now you're talking about the rest of their life. Not just a ring. I mean, it's going to sit there, it's going to gather some dust. But when they go to the bank and they go shopping with their wives, well, I got a ring. I said, congratulations. But Paul George and Westbrook and. CP, LeBron James, Kawhi, wherever he signs, they going to have that cash at the end of the day.
Well, hold on, Twan. Here's my point. I'm not knocking the fact that he didn't get a ring, but he want to cash out. I'm with that. But if I'm the owner of the Mets and this dude is at the end of his career, oh, okay, we're going to give you $5.9 million. But here's how we're going to set it up. I'm doing business with Bernie Madoff, and Bernie Madoff is supposed to be making people all this money. I don't care what the returns are. I'm not guaranteeing nobody no money knowing that they're going to retire in a couple of years for the next 30 years. The next 30 years. This dude is getting paid, and he ain't even cleaning the toilet. So that was stupid on them. That's just me. That's stupid on them. Good. Hey, big up to Bobby. Big up. Big up.
Big up to Bobby's agent.
Listen, that's what I said today. When I sent you guys what we talk about. Big up to his agent. This dude is a monster. This dude used to be an insurance agent. He used to be an insurance agent, and now he's representing some of the biggest ball players in the major leagues. And he's setting these deals up for them. And I'm saying this is not even their pension. He's getting a pension too. Let's understand that. He's getting a pension from the MLB. This is not even his pension. This is his contract for playing ball. Dude, you played not even half a season, and you're going to get almost $1.2 million until you turn like 70. Wow.
His wife is happy too.
I'm sure.
Yeah, see, the thing is, like, one, big up to Bobby Moniz's agent. I think his name was Dennis Gilbert, and that's a huge echo. Ooh-wee.
Hey, Dad, you gotta turn your volume down on your computer.
Yeah, you might be on the computer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we gotta be right here. A lot of echo over here.
There you go. It's down now.
Oh, yeah, that's much better. Now I see why they do that shit on the radio.
Turn your radio down.
Now I see why. But oh man. So yeah, like the thing with Bobby Bonilla's agent, man. Bobby Bonilla's agent. I'm surprised that more agents didn't try something like this after they found out about Bobby Bonilla's deal. Right? Like, how many of these dudes? It's almost like the lottery, right? You know what I'm saying? You always hear those questions about how, like, when people win the lottery, like, so you're going to take the annuity or you're going to take that one lump sum? And most people are like, Nick, I'm taking it. Like, I'm going to take that lump sum. You know what I'm saying? I need all my cash right now. I'm going to pay all these taxes, but I'm going to get all my cash right now. I'd be like, but, you know, if you take the annuity, man, you can live off the interest. You know what I'm saying? And Bobby Bonilla out here living that interest life, baby. he on the long game. He on the long
game. With no ring.
Listen, on the app, it says the first person that they ever did this type of deal with was Daryl Strawberry, 1985, and he's getting 700,000 until 2033. So you know what? This may have been the norm back in the day, but this says 1985. They created this contract for Bobby in 2000. I mean, it's not like dudes wasn't getting hundreds of millions in 2000. You know what I'm saying? So for them to have constantly just said, you know what, oh, we're gonna continue this, you know what?
Well, the thing is,
though, ruined it for everybody.
But the thing, hold on, just a little bit for like context though, Cliff. Like, guys were getting hundreds of millions of dollars in 2000, but Bobby Bonilla wasn't the kind of player that would have commanded that kind of money in 2000.
No.
So, I mean, that's why it was really, 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 really smart of his agent to kind of set him up in the way that he did, where Bobby Bonilla is getting $1.1 million every year, damn near in perpetuity.
Hey, I got a stat for you. So, on the same article, this says... if you take out the 2000 season before the deferred money comes in, it says Bobby's career, mind you, he got drafted in 86, and we'll talk about in 2000, his career earnings was $46 million. So this dude is going to get almost three quarters of what he earned over almost a 20-year span when he ain't even playing. That is awesome, man.
Yeah,
that
man.
Is awesome. But for the owners, I bet you they won't sign that paper again. I bet you they won't sign that paper again.
They probably figured he was going to be dead.
Not only that. Truth be told, man, they like as much money as Major League Baseball is tossing around now, they probably not even sweating the little $1.1 million that they're giving Bobby Bonilla. Like, they're throwing around a whole lot of money in baseball right now. I don't know if like that $1.1 million every year is really like even coming up on the radar. They're like, hey man, Bobby, did you cash a check yet? Did you get Bobby, you gotta cash a check, man. You're messing up payroll, baby. Come on, man. You gotta go ahead and cash a check.
Hold on. Let me read this last part. And this is what trips me out about why they gave him the deal. It says this whole option started with a complex question. It starts with the fact that Bobby was a disappointment for the team. In his second stint with the Mets, he was on the disabled list frequently, and when he was playing good, he wasn't any good.
Damn.
Like, yo, he wasn't even putting up numbers.
So, hold on.
Still said we-
hold on.
Now, you know, he used to play for the White Sox.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yes. And when he played for the White Sox were losers just like they are now.
Don't be a hater all your life, bro.
I'm just saying.
All your life, man. We will make a headway here, man. We ain't mentioned the Cubs or the Sox at all. This ain't.
You don't have to mention the Cubs because it just squatted all.
For those
that listen in, if you ever watch this episode again and you download it, you're gonna hear me say, "Look at my shirt." Look at my shirt. I ain't got it. Go ahead, Stan. Why are you shaking your head? You should have worn socks hat today.
I could Stan have. I was trying to be a peaceful man today, goddamn it. I was trying to be peaceful and have a truce, but here you go with this, man, whatever. My socks suck.
That ain't my problem.
Hold on. Truth be told.
I just hope that a lot of these ball players who get these big mega contracts are doing some financial planning like Bobby Bonilla so that when they retire and can't play anymore, they still got money in coming in for them and their kids the next 20 years.
Well, the level of the money is a little bit different now. You know, well, like, it's cool that Bobby was able to get out of the game and still, you know, be able to count on that $1.1 million coming in every year. But again, with the amount of money that's being tossed around in Major League Baseball, what you hope is that the guys are smarter with the money that they've been given. You know,
that's
like,
what I'm saying, exactly. Yeah,
you hope that those dudes aren't just like the money comes in, the money goes out, and then by the time the end of their career comes around, like they're broke and they're on ESPN again with broke too. You know, like
you know what? Do you guys? I mean, this has to do with what we're talking about. Allen Iverson's attorney. I don't know if you ever heard about this, but AI
with the Reebok
endorsements. No. His attorney, that his just personal attorney who dealt with his estate planning. Right. Iverson didn't even know that when he got drafted into the league, that his attorney set it up that a portion of his annual revenue went toward, let's just say, an account. And it accrued, and I'm not saying interest, I'm just saying cash, $50 million. And it said that he was not able to touch none of this money until he turned 50 years old. And I say that to just go on what you and Pops were just talking about. You know what? I hope that a lot of these guys took heed to what Allen Iverson's attorney did for him. Even without him knowing, he helped him out. And Allen, he had did an interview and he praised his attorney. He said, because if it wasn't for what his attorney did, he would have never had that $50 million.
For sure. Ever. Like that was when Allen Iverson played here in Detroit for only like half a year. And like the reputation that Allen Iverson had, even in the short time that he was here, was like, yo, AI always in the casino, bro. Like, he's always in the casino, whether it was the MGM casino, whether it was Motor City, whether it was the Greektown casino. Like, you always saw AI downtown in a casino. He wasn't really great with his money. And so it's great for Allen Iverson and great for Bobby Bonilla that they had people who were looking out for them financially to where they couldn't self-sabotage. Yes. And like,
the ability to play basketball doesn't make you smart.
Right,
a lot of these guys thought that would. But no, you got the big contract, but you got to have some people who know about money in your corner, and it's good they did.
And that's one of the
things. Like you said, with the money they're throwing around like now, I mean, Bobby Bonilla got to pay with that $5 million and turn it into 29. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, one of the biggest bonuses of Bobby Bonilla having that deal structured in the way in which it was the way in which he's kind of able to get around paying the taxes on that money. So, you know, like the guys who are playing right now, like when they go and they play when they go play a road game, and say for instance you play you're from New York but you go play a game against the Detroit Tigers or something like that, now you have to pay Michigan income tax, you got to pay New York income tax. Like there's various different taxes that goes along with the money that you earn while playing the game. And with Bobby Bonilla's deal, because I kind of did a little reading up on this too, Bobby Bonilla is actually just being paid like a guy who's just employed, right, by the by the New York Mets. And so he pays New York City taxes, New York State taxes, but that's it. You know, like he doesn't have the income taxes that comes with being a ball player who plays in different states and they have to pay taxes in each and every last one of these states where the guys go and play. he's able to just collect this money, pay a small amount of taxes on the money that he's being compensated with. It was a very smart deal. Like his agent was like a fucking genius. Like I that's why one of the questions on, as a matter of fact, before we get out of here, I want to make sure you guys know on this episode on beerandchickenpie.com, there's a poll up on whether or not you think this is actually something that players should do more of, whether or not they should take the annuity payments that Bobby Bonilla is doing, or whether it should be like, yo, straight cash, homie, lump sum me out right now. And that's the poll on the Beer and Chicken Podcast website right now, man. Go to episode 17 of the Beer and Chicken Pod. You can vote on that poll right now.
And just to branch off of your tax thing right there.
Yeah.
Florida does not have an income tax. Mm-hmm. So that boy is he's raking all that, bro.
Yeah. Very smart.
He's raking all
that. Very smart.
Smart, man. So yeah. Kudos to his agent all day long.
Yes, sir.
Pops, appreciate you calling in all day.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling. Good luck. We'll talk to you.
Great job.
Thanks. All right, man. Shout out to Cliff's Pops for calling in. Yeah, man, I'm looking in the chat room. I'm like, wait, there's two Cliffs in here, man. I was confused as shit, bro.
I told you earlier.
Well, I know that, but I'm looking at it like, yeah, that was me who you was calling. I'm like, wait, I'm talking to you right now. How are you typing this shit while I'm talking to you? I was confused as shit, bro.
That's funny.
But Walt didn't show up, bro. He told me, Walt said he had a flat tire, and his phone went dead. He couldn't call. So yeah, we was looking for you though, bro. It happens. Life happens. Life happens. Since we're not going, well, we could save what Walt had for next week.
Let's save it.
Because I don't want to talk about his shit without him. It was his shit, right? So let's not talk about his shit without him. But yeah, man. Before we topic comes. All right.
For the record, understand I've talked about referees in the league, and how bad I can't stand them. Plenty. So yeah, we'll get on that next, Pop. Believe
me. Right.
You want to wing it, man?
Yeah, we about to wing it. Hold on, we got to pull it up.
We'll do it live.
You go ahead and kick it off.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right. So I'm winging it on LeVar Ball again.
Hey, I'm going to buy you a t-shirt that says,
I hate LeVar Ball. How did I know what you was about to say before you said it? I'm winging it on LeVar Ball again.
Man.
And one of the reasons why I'm winging it on LeVar Ball, man, like, there's been talk about, we were talking about the guys who want to go to the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard is one of those guys who wants to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, right? Well, LeBron being there, he might not even get a chance to go now. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. One of the reasons why Kawhi Leonard isn't a Los Angeles Laker right now is because of the fact that the San Antonio Spurs would not deal Kawhi Leonard to the Los Angeles Lakers and have Lonzo Ball coming back to the San Antonio Spurs. And one of the reasons why they didn't want Lonzo Ball coming back to the San Antonio Spurs was because they didn't want to have to deal with his loudmouth ass daddy. Like, Greg Popovich has no respect whatsoever LeVar Ball. All the damn L balls, right? The L balls. The L balls is what we'll call him from here on out. Greg Popovich has no respect for that dude whatsoever. Dude brings way too much attention to himself. He's a distraction on and off the court, man. He sows discord amongst the organization. You've heard him talk shit about the Walton kid, who's coaching the Lakers right now. What's his name? Bill's son. I forget. Luke Walton.
Luke talking about whether or not the guys will play for Luke Walton.
Talking about. He doesn't want his son to play. If the Lakers don't draft my son, then, my son's going, you know, he's trying to position himself and his son as the end all be all of organizational decisions. And what ends up happening is, although the Lakers were able to pull off, you know, they got LeBron because LeBron wanted to come there. I don't know if it had anything to do with Lonzo Ball being there for LeBron wanting to go there. But when you start crippling your team's ability to make decisions because of the other team, like, yo, man, we not dealing with that shit. We not dealing with that shit at all. Yo, man, LeVar Ball, as much as y'all champion this dude, I'm not really, y'all know, damn it, I ain't a fan. I'm just not a fan. And this nigga got a goddamn clock up there. Check this out, nigga. I'm under 2 minutes because I'm really done. And fuck you again. So, yeah, man, that's what I'm winging it on, man. LeVar Ball, man, shut your motherfucking mouth, man. Let the shit happen the way it's supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm, you know what? Nah, I'm going to go over my 2 minutes, bro. I'm going over. Because you know what? Somebody going to trade for Lonzo Ball. Somebody's going to do it. They're going to take on that motherfucking headache. The Lakers going to get sick of that shit. And they're like, you know what? Shut your motherfucking ass up. You don't make no decision around here. Magic going to be like, nigga, I'm the ball. I'll run this shit. Get your bitch ass out of here. You and your damn son with the awkward jump shot. You know what I'm saying? And I'm done, man. That's all I'm winging it on, man. LeVar Ball, shut the fuck up sometimes. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
All right. Got it out of my system.
Hey, man, I will never put you and that dude in the room
and don't
lock
do it.
The door. Because I'll be scared to see who gonna come out alive.
Don't do it. Right? Don't do it, man. Don't do it at all.
So, here's what I'm winging on.
I don't know, man. He probably whooped my ass. He a big dude.
Well, I know what you got on your side. You know,
hey,
you
man,
what I'm saying?
I ain't trying to take nobody. All this black on black violence, man. We need to bring it to a stop, man. Stop that.
What I'm winging on is this. I'm gonna bring it down to a much smaller scale. So this year I was the coach for my son's little league team, and the last 10 games of the season they decided to let some older players, 13-14 year olds, be the umpires, which I'm good with that, right? Because my team, they're only 7 and 8, right? So the other players who umpired the games, they were basically kind of helping the kids learn the rules, learn, you know, how to play the game, and to be more or less of a, you know, just somebody they can look after, because some of the young boys would go and watch their games, you know, when the big boys play. So all that to say is this. So a few games ago, I got a couple new umpires, and they made some calls. And the issue was, I'm never going to argue a judgment call, whether if he's out, whether if he's safe. If you feel like he was out, hey, I'm good with that. But my issue was, these boys, they didn't even know the rules. They didn't know the rules to the game. So the lady who was in charge of assigning these young guys to come and umpire the games, I asked one of the two of the boys, I said, hey, y'all play baseball? Not to be bogus or disrespectful. And one of the boys said, I've never played baseball in my life. I'm a soccer player. Yo, so after the game, I go to the lady who assigned the players and said, why are you going to put a soccer player as an umpire on a baseball game? Well, you know, I think that it's easy. I said, listen, you're doing it's not fair for these young boys who know the rules, you know? And I just don't get it. So here's what I'm saying. To anybody who's watching the show, if you got kids, all right, and you are in their athletic career, just make sure they know the rules, all right? And don't go send your baseball player to be a soccer referee, all right? So they can understand what the real rules are, all right, out in the world. What time is it? Oh, I still got 2 minutes. So at the end of the day, okay?
God damn it, that was the wrong one.
Fuck it.
Wrong one.
See, that's what you get. That's what you get for being a bad person. For being a bad person, Tom. I'm good. That's it. But I'm good, man. Hey, good show, man. Walt, man, we miss you, man. Hopefully you got the car taken care of. Charge your phone, and next week we definitely gonna holler at you.
For sure, man. For sure. Yeah, man. We actually, what's this? An hour and a half, man. Just me and you. Look at that shit. Look at that shit. But, yeah, man, we about to get up out of here. It's getting late.
Yeah.
The sun. You know what? The good thing about summer is, man, like it's 9:23 and there's still light outside. It's damn near 10 o'clock at night, man. Well, it's 8 something in Chicago, bro. Like, I mean, come on. Like, it's almost 10 and it's still light outside here. This is what I'm saying. But,
beautiful thing.
Yeah, man, we had breaking news happen on the show, man. This is beautiful. Look at that. Beautiful. Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk, man. We have real hot takes, man, with maybe some hot wings. Mostly beer, though. We ain't had no chicken on the show in a while.
Yes.
Mostly beer. We might just call this shit beer and sports, maybe.
I'll make sure. Hold on. No, I got chicken on the grill. So,
well,
yeah.
Next week, I'm probably going, well, damn, I really won't. Truth be told, man, some of the best chicken I've ever had was in New Orleans, and it was from this spot called Willie's, man. I want some Willie's chicken. That's what I want. But I can't have Willie's because Willie's is only in New Orleans so far as I know. But it's time for us to go. But before we do, of course, we got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here. This is Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Let your voices be heard here. Go ahead and hit us up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll respond to those here live on the show. Respond here live on the show to them. And if you're watching the show live, you can call the show live and be a part of this experience here at the Beer and Chicken Pod, man. Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com, man. Leave those emails, and of course, we'll read those and reply to those here live on the show as well. The YouTube comments, man, we'll actually reply to those too, right? So I'm posting some of the clips from the show on YouTube, man. If you guys leave comments on YouTube, we will reply to some of those comments. If you got a thread going on, we ain't going through the whole thread. But those initial comments, we might, you know, we're going to go through those and we'll respond to those as well, right? Also, man, hit us up on Twitter and Twitter mostly, but my name on there is Mr_Spam. Walt Lockdown is Walt Lockdown on Twitter. And you got the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. He's DJ Neff 2 on Twitter. And the show has his own Twitter, Beer and Chicken Pod on Twitter. Leave us those iTunes and Stitcher reviews, right? 5 stars, preferably. The 5-star reviews get read here live on the show. And if you leave less than 5 stars, I mean, we won't read it. You can leave it. It won't get read on the show, though, is what we're saying, man. That's all we're saying. And for all of your Beer and Chicken Podcast needs, man, go to www.beerandchickenpod.com. Go and vote in the polls, man. Watch replays of the show. Leave comments on the show, man. Everything's available at beerandchickenpod.com, man. We appreciate everybody who goes about the business to do that. And go to the store and get yourself some merch, man. Real talk. Get yourself some fly gear. Hook yourself up while you're helping us at the same time. Right? So, yeah, man, go ahead and do that, man. We appreciate everybody who does that, man. But we're about to get up out of here, and we will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam.
Holla back.
Peace.